who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of July the 9th, 1988. Tape number 20 of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher for the morning.
Oh, you're all harnessed up.
You know, I can't believe it. Y'all wouldn't believe my life. A year ago, when I first saw this little shakety thing, you know, and I come up here. I just want to testify, it's amazing what God can do.
That's right.
And
I see it.
I love
you. The Lord has... You have grown in a year more than some people have grown in all their life.
No. Oh, really? Okay. Y'all ready? I can't see the clock. good. That's probably good. I don't got to watch either. Okay. It don't matter. I know some of y'all are anxious to get on the road, and I'm anxious for you to get on the road. However your heart is, take it, okay? I want to give you a little something extra first, okay? We're going to do that. On your way home, write these down. I know I hate to take notes myself, but because I can't write on my lap because I haven't got one. But write these down, if you would, because they're going to help you on the way home when you're going down the road. Lynn and I were talking last night over an onion sandwich. Anybody that likes an onion sandwich is all right with me. And I hope Doc slept okay last night with the onions that I was breathing in and out. But anyway, I think it purges something out of you. I'm going to behave myself. What? What was that, Doc? Is there deliverance for that, snoring? Does it? Hallelujah. I should have brought Doc an onion sandwich because I was doing fine. Okay. We were talking last night about God. I've come to hear from God, not to hear about down the road. I want to know how to get from here down the road. So when you leave here this morning and you want to get down the road, if you'll remember these little seven steps I'm going to give you, you'll be better off. You'll be better equipped. Number one, set your affection on things above. Colossians 3, read 1 through 6. Whatever you set your affections on is where you're going. So if you set your affections on things above, you're on your way. Number two, for those with short hands, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience. And that can all be found in 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 14. And then number three, preach the word of your testimony. And slow down. Okay. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. And that's share the word of your testimony. We're all preachers. We're all teachers. What chapter? 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. The Lord tells you how to share your testimony. He testifies Him in you. Okay, number four. It's a tough one. Be faithful in trial. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. The steps get more difficult as you go along the road, by the way. But it gets easier. I know that makes a lot of sense, but it really works. The steps are harder, but it's easier. Number five, purify yourself. And a lot of us start to fudge there. The accuser tells us we're not worthy, and we never can be. But purify yourself, 1 John 3, 2 and 3. And after you've done all these things, number six is abide in Christ Jesus. 1 John 2, 28. That means abide in Him, not visit. Abide. Okay. If you want to get out of trouble, get in Christ. And number seven, this is a good part. You get to pull over the side of the road and sit down on the park bench. And then look for Him eagerly apart from sin. Hebrews 9, 28. Okay. That's a something extra. And I don't know when, Glenn, one of these days, who knows, the Lord knows us. I got so excited this morning because I finally had a clearance in my spirit And I started leaping inside because the Lord told me, go ahead and preach the Bride of Christ, but not this time. I'm going to preach the Bride of Christ one of these times. It takes a long time. We could spend all week just studying about the Bride of Christ because God left a divine pattern for the wedding gown, the flowers, the cake, the invitations, the grooms, and everybody. Everybody gets to come to the wedding. He left a divine pattern all through His Word for the Bride of Christ, us. And one of these days we're going to do a whole series. It takes a long time to do that. What?
Everybody's not the bride.
That's right.
But everybody thinks they are.
Well, you've got to have bridesmaids and the guests of the wedding and all those that show up and the members of the family. I was planning, I had a couple of invitations to go here and go there, and I'd already told my wife, I'm going to pack some extra socks. I didn't bring enough underwear, but I packed some extra socks in case I head off some other direction from Arkansas. And I was thinking ahead and wound. Then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, that wedding. I've got to do a wedding next Saturday, and I can't go anywhere. I got to go home first. And this, y'all pray for me next Saturday night. I'm going to officiate at a wedding in the largest Baptist church in our area. And the father of the groom is one of the elders in our fellowship. And he says, I want a Holy Ghost wedding. And I said, can that include the breaking of family curses over the bride and groom with the parents in attendance laying on hands and anointing with oil and deliverance during the wedding? He said, yeah, let's do that. So next Saturday night in Deer Park, Texas, oh, I hope this tape doesn't go too far. Let's do it. I'm game. Whatever God says to do, I'll do it. So next Saturday night around 7 o'clock, if you feel a shaking and a breaking from Deer Park, Houston, Texas, an earthquake, you're going to know that there's some people falling out. The walls are going to come down because this is a real popular couple in our town, and they're all going to be there. The Lutheran church wouldn't let me do it officiate because their priest would have to bless them, and I'd have to wear a robe. And the bride and groom said, no, we don't want that stuff. So the Lutheran church wouldn't let them. The Baptist church, they kind of feel up. You know, the Baptist church, we're really in trouble because we got the form for everything. And that bride and groom walked in without the form. And now at the corner, they just said, Pastor Jerry Garner. And nobody noticed. And they stamped approval on it. And they drug it through a committee right quick. Nobody knows what's going to go on next Saturday night except the Holy Ghost. But anyway, we're going to do a wedding. I can't hardly wait to get back home now. I'm going to talk about a real popular subject this morning. Real popular. I've already been visited by the hierarchy. Where is she? Irma back there. She said, what are you going to do, prune us? I said, no. No pruning. We're going to get the hoe out and dig out some weeds this morning. And now that we've all been delivered out of Egypt, we've been drug around that mountain over and over and over and over and over. Guess what? We're going into the Promised Land this morning. And there's one little stop on this side of the Jordan, okay? And we're going to start out over in Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to talk about if God would come to you right now and tell you, I want to tell you what lukewarm really means, would you listen? I would. Well, he's going to tell you. He's going to show you in divine order and pattern the lukewarm Laodicean church all through the Word. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 26, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Do you know that you're cursed if you don't follow after God? You have received the knowledge and understanding and wisdom and blessings and Holy Spirit. There is a curse that comes upon you if you do not act upon what God has told you. And that's not condemnation, that's edification, okay? And it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curses on Mount Ebal. That's on the other side of the Jordan, folks. And remember when they went in, the blessings were read out aloud on this mountain. The curses were read out aloud on this mountain. The commandments were written on that whitewashed stone. Every single child of God got to see what was written, got to hear all the blessings, and got to hear all the curses. Not one person went into the Promised Land not prepared. Okay? Are they not on the other side of the Jordan toward the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Moron, but you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. It was a commandment, not a suggestion, or not a I wish you would go over the Jordan. It was a commandment, or else. Well, we're going to get to the or else. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 32. Don't y'all feel good? I just feel good this morning. So glad the Lord loves us. He's so lenient with us. I'm not going to read it all to you, but I want to show it to you. I want you to mark in your word in Numbers chapter 32, starting at verse 1, and read at least through 23 or 24, and read the story of the Reubens, the Reubenites, the Gads, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe Manasseh that chose by choice not to cross the Jordan. Okay? Moses had brought them up, and by the way, they weren't in the wilderness exactly 40 years, it was 38. They spent the last 2 years fighting the enemy on that side before they would go over. But of course, Moses didn't get to go over to the Jordan. But anyway, the children of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, and all of Manasseh, half-Manasseh, came and said, we want to settle on this side of the Jordan. Because they were farmers, they had cattle, and it was already settled. It was nice and clear, and the Jordan was flooding out of its banks. We don't want to go through there. We'll lose something. And remember, spiritually, the Red Sea was the baptism. The Jordan was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and all that. They were going to cross through the Jordan and go on the other side. They asked permission not to have to cross over the Jordan. They said, we want to go build houses and cities and protect our children and our wives, and leave them here, and the men of all of our tribes will go with you and fight and come back. Now that's the setup, okay? So that's what happened. They go and pray, and Joshua asks God, and they go through all that. I want you to read that with understanding, because the Lord's going to tell you about it. But right now, I want you to go over to 2 Kings, as we set our story up here, so that this lukewarmness is revealed to us, that we might not fall into that snare ourselves. Let's go over to 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Now this, I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to give you what happened after all of this started happening. Because I want to show you that God's judgment is quick. His mercy is long, and He is long-suffering. But when judgment comes to the house of God, it comes and it's written and warned, and it was here for them, and they did not see it. 2 Kings, when in those days, reading in chapter 10, verse 32, in those days the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel. And Hezekiah conquered them in all the territory of Israel from the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh. When God's judgment started at the house of God, it started with those who I call lukewarm, are standing on middle ground. They had not gone all the way with God. They would not go and venture through the Holy Spirit. They would not give up all and follow after God across the Jordan. They were afraid of losing, literally, they were afraid to lose their cattle and their possessions because the Jordan was swollen out of its banks, and they didn't want to lose anything that they had that they could hold on to. How many of us don't want to turn loose something because we're afraid of losing it to go all the way with God? How many of us are going to go home and begin to compromise here and there in little places because we don't want to lose anybody's friendship? I got to think about this sermon last night when the Lord reminded me of Middle Ground, and I could go back and begin to remember why my wife and I used to be very active in Deer Park in civic things. I ran for school board a couple of times. We were in business there, and she was in that Beta Sigma Phi, Psi, whatever that is, sorority. We had a lot of friends, party friends. You know, every week you just party, you play cards, you go da da da. Those friends begin to leave you, and by choice they leave you, you know. And they don't even want to call you. And they meet you on the street, they don't even want to know you sometimes. And you're going to have to give up some of your friends. I mean, really, they will try to pull you back to where you were. And God says, don't do that. If you're going to minister to them, pull them up to where you are. You don't return to where they are. That's a plan of Satan. To steal your joy, steal your armor, begin to weaken you and weaken the word in you, take your time. Oh, that's all right. We'll just do this. And he begins to steal from you. He'll use your best friends. He'll use your family, the ones that don't want to go across the Jordan. But anyway, okay, the men of, of Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, went across the Jordan to fight with Joshua. They agreed to do that. Now, several things happened on the other side of the Jordan over there that the 2.5 tribes, all the women and children, missed out on. First of all, they had to build their own houses. They had to build their own cities for protection. They had to have all their own supplies going for that. Now, on the other side of the Jordan, what was waiting? Large cities, prosperous, lots of things going on. God's glory was coming down. They didn't get circumcised on this side. They got circumcised on the other side, didn't they? They waited. All of God's blessings, all of God's gifts, everything that God wanted to have for them was on the other side of the Jordan. And those husbands decided for their families to leave them on this side. Now, that's speaking spiritually also. If you're the spiritual leader of your household, if you decide, well, we're going to go to this church, and we're going to do this, and to keep peace in the family, I'm going to go over here. That kind of touches some of us, doesn't it? We'll keep doing this to keep peace in the family. And God's telling you to do something else. Come on, we're right, aren't we? Okay. I want to describe these 2.5 tribes to you, what their names literally mean. We know it reveals a nature that might be in us. The first one, Gad, means soldier of fortune. Fortune, money, gain. We have a job. It's not a real nice job, but it makes us a lot of money. We have to be kind of mean and cruel sometimes. We may do something that's kind of ungodly. We get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and what happens? Convicting power of the Holy Spirit starts to work on you. You may lose your fortune. You may have to stop doing business the way you did before. You may have to stop cheating on your taxes. I hear a sound. Okay, Lord, go ahead. Reuben. Reuben's name literally means unstable as water. Go with the flow. See with the natural eyes. Self-destructive. Perverted view of all things. That's Reuben. Unstable as water. Why? He's led by who? The flesh man. He wants all God's got, but he wants to do it in his might and his power. And you'll be unstable in all ways. You'll be deceived by the flesh man. Who wars against the spirit? Tommy told you. Okay. He in Reuben will lead you away. You'll be unstable in all things. Manasseh. This one gets a lot of us too. To forget or neglect to do. He became the tribe of confusion. You can conquer your forgetfulness. There are ways. Tie a string around your nose. Put a note on the ice box. Do something. No one should fall prey to forgetfulness. Oh, what's that? There are ways to overcome forgetfulness. Now, neglect is something else. Neglect means I'd rather do this than that. That's what causes neglect in a person's life. Well, okay. Let me get, you know, you start to plan your day around what's going to happen at mealtime, television, and da-da-da-da-da, and you begin to neglect the things that God really wants you to be doing by doing your own thing. This is all talking about the same guy. Same self-worship, isn't it, over and over and over. I went through the New Testament, came out with a lot of interesting observations about people who are lukewarm. They're ruled by selfish motives. They neglect prayer and Bible study. They forget past blessings. If we're in the midst of a fire, we'll cry out and weep and wail and carry on. But we don't do that when God blesses us. We get up and take off and be blessed and skip down the road having a fine time. And we forget the God that just blessed us. We're quick to forget the blessings. And we refuse to die to self. We refuse. Refuse to die. Okay? These are lukewarm people. They're unstable as water. They're blown to and fro by every wind and doctrine. Whatever comes down the road, whoever's preaching, whatever's said, it's like a ping pong thing. Back and boom, 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 boom. That sounds good. And they go over here. Oh, rapture sounds good. Bong. Oh, this now I want to be a son. Okay. And we're just back and forth. And we don't know what we believe. We'll listen to anybody. We're not led by the Holy Spirit. And it can happen to you right here. You can come and sit right here and listen to different speakers and just bounce back and forth. And be unstable in all your ways. Because you're dealing with the same old flesh man. He wants to keep you on this side of the Jordan. He's got something dangling over you. You won't go over there. You're going to lose your cows. Well, we all know the Jordan opened up and they crossed over on dry land anyway. Okay? Let's go over to Genesis. Okay. In Genesis 48, chapter 48, verse 13, this is the blessing of the two sons, and I'm sure you're familiar with this. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid upon Ephraim's head. who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hand knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has led me all my long life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named among them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took a hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, No, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, My son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. God was grafting you and I in to the family. We were coming in right then. Look back to that and rejoice. You got grafted in to the family. And not only that, you were blessed and anointed with a double portion. Manasseh literally means double fruit. Double portion. Okay? I don't know if that does for you what it did for me, but let me tell you, I began to get excited in God. And I said, okay, God, whatever it takes, if you have to drag me across the Jordan, let's go. I shouldn't say that because he did. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you how it happened again. I told somebody, I forgot. I've never given that testimony, I think, except last year when I was here. That I was at a Baptist convention, dried up on the vine, so hungry and thirsty I could have spit cotton. And the Holy Spirit came down during the service and found me and filled me up. And I puffed up like a Pillsbury Doughboy. And I didn't know what it was, and I was standing on my tippy toes singing in the Spirit, didn't know what it was. What's that? Wow. Ooh, ooh. What's all this? Ooh. And I floated out of there. And 6 months later, I was still the same weird person. Wow, I don't know what this is, but man, it's good. And I found a scripture that said, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And later came the power. You see, I got breathed on that night. Because God chose. I didn't. I was just hungry and thirsty. My heart was ready, but God just... And that's all he did. He left. And I was like a balloon puffed up, man. I'm not going to go through all that because I don't want to go back through some of that stuff. But I mean the holy hose and the whole bit. Blessings and curses. And man, I was just, let me at him, God. I want to go. Didn't know where to go, but I just want to go, God. I want to preach. 5 years ago, I didn't know what to preach. I didn't know the God that was in here. I knew the God that lived down there in the church house. We're going to get to that bunch. Now, after they go and fight all the wars and everything's over and the lands begin conquered and they want to go back across to Jordan, you know what happens? They go back. And right this side of the Jordan, right over in the Promised Land, they do what? They build them a stone structure, an altar. Why? Because, see, they're going to go over there. They want to be able to look over there and say, see, there's our God. Our God was with us. There's stone structures all over this land. Why? Because people want something to look at. Why? Because they're not dwelling with him. He's not abiding in them. God was over in the Promised Land. Over there with them. Over here, 2.5. I mean, and they're in the family. They're Christians. I mean, they're born again, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of names. They don't matter. They're in the family. But they're looking across the street over there, across the stream, to a stone structure. And we know the story that made everybody else mad in Israel. They're going to come over and just, you know, cut them off, like some of us well-meaning charismatics. If I can just ever get you to speak in tongues, you got it made. If I can get you over to this place and do this, you know, and we're going to come over and kick over your temple. How many of y'all know God ain't going to let us do that to the church? Is he? Uh-uh. He's going to take care of his church. You keep your hands off of his church over there. He'll take care of his church. You stay out of the way, because when it falls over, mighty is the fall, and I don't want to be under a bunch of rubble when it comes tearing down either. God will take care of the heart of church. Okay? He may use us, but what are we going to do? What did it say yesterday? Set the standard up on the wall. You know, put the word, let the word do the talking. Don't you do the talking. Well, if you just get spirit failed, you wouldn't have all them demons in you. Of course, I'm the only one here that's ever done that to anybody, haven't I? Well, if you would just get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have so many problems in your life. Is that using the standard of God, or is that using the standard of self? Well, if you had what I had, you'd be all right. It's time we take a long look at ourselves and see us the way God sees us. You know, we can get puffed up, Satan, and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look who you can speak in tongues. Wow, your hand gets hot when you pray for somebody. Woo, feel that. Holy Ghost, woo. And Satan going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You just keep pushing you down the road. You better watch who's motivating you sometime and under whose motivation you're operating. Well, I feel led. I love what Jack said. You know, we're so full of lead on this side. I just feel led. I feel lead. I bet they can't get through the airport, you know, for that thing that checks you for lead. I just feel lead. Every time some sweet person comes toward me, brother, I just feel lead. And I go, well, where are we going if you're leading and I'm backing up? Where are you going? If you feel led, let me tell you, brother, the Lord has already confirmed what you're fixing to say, or he's fixing to confirm it to me. So don't anybody panic. And I'll listen to anybody. I'll listen to anybody. You want to ventilate? Ventilate. I'll listen. Because it's just going to right on through. I trust the Holy Spirit in me to keep that which I need. You do the same. Don't fret. If somebody says, I heard from God at 9 o'clock this morning, and at 9:30, and at 9:45, and they rattle off, and then you sit there feeling, I never hear from God. He never talks to me. Oh, yeah, he's talking to you. He ain't listening. You're trying so hard to hear, you can't hear. Why? Because we're trying to hear him say what we want to hear him say. And he's saying, everybody that's waiting on God so hard, guess what? God ain't sitting down under a tree somewhere. God's moving. He's moving around. He's waiting for people that'll move with him and not go over here and over there. And I feel led to go to India. I'm going to go to the airport, get my bag, and stand there and wait for somebody to walk up and give me a ticket. Guess who's going to supply your need? Think about it. God wants you to go. He hadn't made preparations for you, and you'd know it. You wouldn't have to go to the airport with a little bag and stand there and wait for somebody to supply your need, because Satan done suckered you in, and he sent you somewhere that God hadn't prepared you for. You'll know. Can you hear his voice? Do you know in your knower what Jack said? Do you know that you know that you know? And if you know that you know that you know, you ain't going to skip a step. You're going to be, you'll skip down that thing to the plane. You won't be waiting on the corner down there for somebody to bring you a ticket to somewhere. Get your bags packed. Well, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. I'm just sitting waiting for somebody to direct me. You do that and you're wide open for the wrong direction. It's coming at you. Okay? Tabernacle that the children of Israel had over in the promised land was where the glory clouds dwelt. That stone structure across the Jordan where the 2.5 tribes dwelt was not. It was a counterfeit. It was a, I wish God was here. I wish something would happen here. Because it said a witness. I picked the word out a while ago, said witness. Means to duplicate, because that's what they told the other tribes when they come to kick them around. We're mad because you built this structure, and they said, we just use that as a witness. That's our witness that God loves us, that we're in the family of God. That's our witness. How many of y'all feel like you got to take somebody down to a place to get them saved, or get them prayed for, or get them delivered? Y'all could build this as a witness. This could become a witness for you. Begin to look at Irma and Glenn as a witness and put some bondage on them. They don't need. If you can't do it where you are, God's not going to use you over here where they are. Don't begin to look at this place as the temple of God. This is the temple of God. God has anointed this place for certain things, and I know in my spirit right now that there's just a whole lot of other things that are trying to mix in and dilute and hold them down and bind them and keep them from doing what God has for them to do. And I'm again to pray and intercede this place every day with renewing in my spirit and understanding now. And I'm going to come against Satan from sending all those types of people here that would begin to dilute and steal and pollute and rob and ravage what God is trying to do right here in the middle of Arkansas. And y'all do it too, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do it. Don't let him do that. We're walking in an hour that no man has ever walked before. but there's a lot of light on the path begin to shine. And I'm excited. Don't be lukewarm. And the only way you can guard against it is go all the way with God. Go on into the promised land. I know you got to fight. But everybody knows when the walls of Jericho came down, the blast of the trumpet, they came down into the ground. They didn't fall over. They didn't crumble. They went down like an elevator because the army marched every man straight in and didn't step over a stone. If God's doing it, it ain't a battle. Has he really? Are you serious? When God told me that a couple years ago, and I thought I was crazy, but I preached that one night to a bunch of retired Assembly of God ministers, and you know they come over here and boy and teach us, and you know I walked in, they all got their Bibles laid on the table, and I teach y'all, you know they're all wise men, they've been Assembly of God for years, and oh God, what do you do this for? And I told them that, and they go, nah. I said, what's what it says? And I show them in the words what it says. They go, well, I'll be. Huh? Y'all, we got a good God. And He loves us. And if we'll stop struggling so hard to fit into somebody else's conviction or someone else's pattern, you'll end up in the tribe you belong in, where you belong in. Don't try to live under somebody else's, well, I've discovered and God has revealed to me that I don't do this. That's good, brother. Go right ahead. Now, when God works on me, then I'll know I'll need to be in that same place. But you can wear yourself out trying to walk in somebody else's breeches. I mean, especially if they're big breeches. You're going to fall down and trip and hurt yourself. You better get the truth. You're running in a skirt, and if you ain't got a belt of truth, you know what's happening? You're tripping on your skirt tail. Because all them guys back there wore skirts, and when they went to battle, they just reached over and pulled the front to the back, tucked in their belt, and girded up their loins, and they took off and went to war. And what held them together was the truth. And who's the revealer of all truth? God, not man. We preach and teach, and then discernment tells you what you need to hear. So let's not be lukewarm. I should have preached all those seven letters, but the Lord didn't tell me to, so I'm not going to. But that last letter to the church of Laodicea was warning about being lukewarm. And I want to make sure that nobody camped out on the wrong side of the Jordan. Okay? Let's all go on to the Jordan this morning. And that means something. That means not being unstable. And that means not falling prey to the enemy. And don't anybody go to anywhere to get your ears scratched if you get an earache. Go to the doctor and let him dig it out. This is the doctor house. Come over here and get your ears dug out. Cleaned out. And when your name is called, you know, I love the sheep story that Rick Godwin preaches about the little sheep over in the east. You know, they still do this. The sheep over there, when they're out on the hills at night and they come into a fold. By the way, a fold, everybody know what the fold is, a sheep fold? It's a place with no pasture. So if somebody says, come over and be in my fold, I go, oh, he's got a fold. He's trying to contain you and protect you and hide you. And he wants to get you over here so he can build him a little fang over here and teach you his doctrine. But anyway, I'm very, very leery of folds now. When somebody says, come on over to our fold and be in our sheep fold. Sheep fold is a place where they protect you at night from the storm and the other wolves. But anyway, four or five different shepherds will bring their sheep to that fold at night and put them all in there and protect them during the night and build a little fire and lay down, da-da-da. And in the evening inspection, while they're in the fold, they literally do this. They'll call them by name. And those sheep know their shepherd, the guy that leads them. They know his voice and they know their name. They do that. They say, Betty, come here. One little sheep will get up and come over and just stand. And he'll go through her and look for any scratches she got during the day or cockaburrs or parasites. And you know, he'll check her over real good and pat her on the head and stroke her and take care of her. And that's what the Heavenly Father wants to do. Even inspection. Present yourself for even inspection. Now, if you're sick, he marks your forehead because he knows the next day he's got to come back and check you closer. And he, you know, puts the oil on there and cleans out your ears. Now, if you refuse to get well, or if you keep running off, some bad things can begin to happen to you. We know that. I don't want to get into all that part of the sheep story because I want to send you off on a good note. I want to get you down the road, and I want to encourage you to take that which the Holy Spirit has taught you, not all the words that we might have spoke this week, but what spoke to your heart. Nurture that. I don't care if you just went away with one word. I don't care if you just went away with in Christ, or our sons, or whatever struck and stayed with your spirit, take that home with you. And just hover over that word and say, Lord, I want to understand that. I want to know that. I want to learn to apply that to my life. How can I do it? Keep those seven steps in your hand and keep going back to those every day and look at that. And when you begin to concentrate on the things of God, you'll be partaking of His divine nature. And your life will begin to change. Okay? Let's stand just a minute. Let me bless this word. I'm sorry, I'm going to quit early. I just want to. Okay? Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray that You take this word, that You hide it in our hearts, Father God. Father, above all else, Father God, if nothing else, Father, we don't want to be lukewarm, Father. We want to go on with You across the Jordan, Father. And my prayer for each one here, Father, is that You anoint them, Father. You give them the mind of Christ, that You circumcise their heart and create a clean heart for them, Father God. That we might come before You as a holy people to worship You with purity, Father God, of thought, Father God, and deed, Father. And Father, I ask anointing upon this word, Father. If there's a word that I spoke that was not true, that You didn't want spoken, Father, then just scratch it, Father. But Father, the words that were from You, Father God, take them, Father God, and seal them in our heart, Father. Give us revelation knowledge on them, Father God. And Father God, let it take root in our heart, produce the vine, Father, that vine produce fruit, that we might eat that fruit, Father God, and be nourished, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Okay. Y'all be seated, okay? We're going to do this. Okay, we're going to take an offering.
And I said that I would sing it this morning. Have to do it at least once a day.
The Spirit said in the quiet place, go back to the carpenter's shop. When I asked why, He said it again, just go back to the carpenter's shop. So not knowing what to expect, but believing that He knew the best, I went back to the carpenter's shop, and day by day, He whittled away. In the closet of the carpenter's shop, He showed me the depths of my heart, when all along I thought I was fine. By His hand He began to refine. So the splinters and ridges and knots, He sanded and pounded and planed. I cried and I tried to give up, as day by day He whittled away. He worked with care in the carpenter's shop, rebuilding me so patiently. His hands were skillful and sure, forming a son strong and mature. Though the process was painfully slow, my heart could rejoice in His love, for I knew that His work He complete, as day by day He whittled away. So when you hear the Spirit saying to you, go back to the carpenter's shop, never doubt His purpose for you, as day by day He whittles away, as day by day He whittles away, whittles away, whittles away.
We're going to sing another song? You have to sing it with me, if you know it.
One day the Savior to me He whispered, child, I want you out of Babylon. Then He led me, said, you better get ready, for I'm giving you a chance to travel on. If from God's order I now should wander, where could I go, Lord? Where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track. I should leave you now. but the bitter with the sweet I'd have to take. If from God's order I now should wander, where could I go, Lord? Where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track, for I've had enough of sin, and their love is peace within. So keep me, Jesus, here in your order, for if I should leave you now, where could I go? Now I'm contented, for the Lord is in it, and I have a peace I never had before. Now that I know him, I tend to show him that at last all my wandering days are o'er. If from God's order I now should wander, where could I go, Lord? Where could I go? I know that Babylon surely don't want me, for too many things about her now I know. I guess the world would take me back, but I'm glad I'm off that track, for I've had enough of sin, and I love this peace with us here in your order. For if I should leave you now, where could I go? And if I should leave you now, where could I go?
Ooh, mercy. I'm going to ask some folks that if they want to come pray, but we're going to pray just a little bit. The Lord just dropped in my spirit when I walked back over there. He says, now. And I knew what he was talking about when he said now, because he's been telling me all week. I'm not one of these kind of guys that tries to get people to walk an aisle. I don't want anybody to walk an aisle. The Lord said, I can do it now. So I'm going to do it now. We're going to chase the devil out of anybody. And not what you think either. We're going to chase him out that comes to lie against you. And anyone that if you have the slightest doubt about your salvation, that's just what is just rolling up inside of me. I wouldn't draw another breath or take a step until I knew. And with the understanding that we have now about salvation, that the word saved messes a lot of us up. Salvation is a way of life. It literally means in the Greek and Hebrew, liberty, deliverance, prosperity, escape, and rescue. Salvation is huge. It's not a little bitty word, five letters says saved. It's huge. Your salvation is tremendous. And it's what Jesus Christ is all about. And if there's a shred of doubt, let's get rid of it. And you're not joining nothing. You're just joining Christ in a walk. Just like the water baptisms we did yesterday, and we baptized into Christ. The whole thing was letting everyone know that the baptism's not a reward for being good. It's a point of dedication to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be buried with you. I want to be crucified with you. I want to be raised up in walk and resurrection power when I come out of the water. That's what it's all about. So the whole week's been about is, like Blanche's been saying, let me see me, and not the perverted me that Satan would have us accuse ourselves or look at ourselves. So let's don't anybody leave here. And just take a big, deep breath and say, Lord, I want to know. And believe me, if you tell him that, you're going to know, and it's going to be in here. And if you come down here and ask him to pray for you, I ain't worried about what somebody might think. Well, I'm a preacher. There's a lot of preachers that need salvation. Okay? Or I'd have to walk in front of my kids and say, I really want to know that I know that I know. And I'm walking now, not out of an emotional response. I want to keep it out of the emotional realm. This is not emotional. This is truth time. And I just feel that deep in my spirit. Okay? And I'm going to ask Linda to come sing Emmanuel. She can remember it. I love that song.
And just, if you don't want to do it up here with me, do it somewhere with somebody. But get it done, okay? And go away with that assurance in your heart. There'll be a new song in your heart.
Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, living in us.
Your life will never be the same. blessed peace with my Lord so near. I'm leaning in on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on the everlasting.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school.